Well, welcome back to HealthLink on Air, brought to you each week by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, you know, just before the break, we were talking to Dr. Rosemary Rochford. She's the chair of microbiology and immunology at SUNY Upstate. We were talking about the Epstein-Barr virus and Burkitt's lymphoma and research going on in here, Syracuse, New York. And Dr. Rochford, now I want to make that leap to Africa. What on earth does all of this have to do with Africa?
Well, that's a good question. What I started, I've been working on is asking the question, why do children get Burkitt's? And what I had said before the break is EBV is a virus, Epstein-Barr virus, that infects everybody. But it becomes cancer, shows up as cancers in different regions of the world. So in Africa, it turns out as a cancer there in these children that come into the, all through the equatorial belt. So we've been trying to figure out why they get this cancer. And we picked up studies of research that was done through the 60s and 70s and then sort of put to rest. And the answer that people came up with is that the cancer is caused by Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, and also malaria. So it's the link between malaria and EBV that really drives this cancer. And I thought that was a good start, but I wanted to know why they work together and what is the interaction, what does malaria do to make the children much more susceptible to getting this cancer, and how does it work with this virus that we've been studying?
You know, I find that interesting. You're mentioning the virus in relation to cancer. That's got to be a part of this big picture study, isn't it?
Exactly. In fact, Burkitt's lymphoma, Dennis Burkitt was a Irish surgeon. I always like to say he was Irish because I'm Irish. But but he went down to Uganda in the 50s, and he saw these children coming in, and this cancer occurs on the jaw. So it's a very rapidly growing cancer. It's very striking when you see it. It's very disfiguring as well. And he wondered why these children, what was this tumor that he saw? It was nothing like he'd ever seen before. And he wrote up a paper 50 years ago now that was published. So there's a meeting to celebrate that 50th year publication mark. But he went back up to England and he presented this paper, and in the audience was a young cell biologist. And I always like to tell my students this story because I tell them you should always go to seminars because you don't know where it'll lead. And so this a young biologist was a man named Tony Epstein, hence the name Epstein-Barr virus. And there was this question about whether viruses were associated with cancer, and people could show that in mice, but they'd never found it in humans. And so Dennis Burkitt started sending up Burkitt lymphoma biopsy samples, things, just bits of the tumor, and shipped them up to England. And Dennis Burkitt was, Tony Epstein was then trying to see if he could find the virus in there, and he finally did. And that was the discovery of Epstein-Barr virus. And so now we know that many, many cancers are associated with viral infections. So Burkitt's lymphoma and EBV, and also cervical cancer with human papillomavirus.
And, you know, that's the one we've been hearing the most about in the news, and with there now there's a vaccine for it.
Exactly.
So that goes back to what you were saying before. If you can get to some of these basics, then you can expand them to even bigger knowledge.
Exactly.
I also think it's interesting, if I understand you correctly, the lymphoma was discovered in being treated or at least being worked on before the virus was even named.
Exactly. Ah. So you can look at the cancer separately from understanding the causes. So we always think about the two things. The question is, why do people get the cancer? So we try to understand that. We also ask the other side, which is, how do you treat the cancer? And those are not always necessarily linked. Right?
I see. All right. So then you have this group, and they're in the equatorial part of Africa.
Right.
And they're easy to study because they're right there. But how many people are we talking about? You said it's in children. How many children are there with this kind of lymphoma?
Well, in our hospital, so I always like to think about the hospital I work in, and it's called Nyanza Provincial Hospital, and it's in Kisumu, Kenya. So it would be the similar size as upstate. It's the public hospital that people come to.
Okay.
We get 2 to 3 children a week coming in with this cancer.
A week?
A week.
So like 150 kids a year.
Exactly.
That's incredible. I can only think this would have run rampant if you weren't studying something along this line.
Oh, I hope that someday we won't have 2 to 3 kids a week. We're not quite there yet, but hopefully we'll get there.
Are the numbers getting smaller?
No, not yet. We haven't actually figured out. I think if we actually treat malaria, I'm coming at it from a different point, but we have to figure out what are the different causes, and we haven't quite got there. I think if we reduce malaria incidence, people are working on that with bed nets and other kinds of ways. But we also are looking at whether we can develop a vaccine against EBV, and that would be another way of coming at it as well.
A lot of different ways to come at it. But then this must translate to the bigger picture. So now you've married a virus to a cancer.
Right.
Does, I mean, I does every virus cause a cancer? Evidently not, because we'd all end up with cancer all the time. But is every cancer caused by a virus?
No.
Do we know that?
No, actually. So only a subset, maybe a quarter of the cancers are caused. And that's worldwide, not probably in the U.S. In the U.S., we don't have as many infections. In Africa, there's so many different things that are there and very common there. So, but we do know that, you know, we want to understand how they get to that point. What does the virus do? And it's not just, we talk about hits. So it's not just the virus. It has to be that plus the malaria. Plus, I think there's actually something else. So we just got a smaller grant to study in collaboration with my Kenyan colleagues to look at whether there's nutrient deficiency. So nutritional problems as well that can put people at risk. So if malaria is everywhere and EBV is everywhere, but only a small subset of the kids are getting it, then what makes those kids more at risk? And that's what we're really trying to figure out.
What are those commonalities?
Yeah.
How do you pay for all of this?
Oh.
I mean, you're talking about research, you're talking about care, you're talking about trips back and forth to Africa.
Right.
How does this get paid for?
Actually, we have funding through the National Institute of Health to support our research, both here, our studies in the U.S. and in Africa.
Uh-huh.
And then I also have a nonprofit that I started to help with the support of the care of the children at the hospital.
Ah, that's very interesting. And then the next question is there a student exchange? Are there students from here that go to some of these places that need these studies? Are there people from there who are coming here?
We have actually both ways going, and maybe not as much. I was hoping then in Kenya that we could get more students coming here, and that's I'm still hoping that when things settle there that we might be able to pick that up. We have some Kenyan students here who've gone there. I've had a postdoctoral fellow that is working over there right now. So we go back and forth, and it's really a delightful chance to exchange ideas between two cultures and two different perspectives.
And you know, that's a good segue. I know one of the things that's kind of gotten in the way of what you're doing now is the political climate there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Speak to me about your last trip there, because I know everybody's waiting to hear some of those keywords that we started the conversation with.
Well, that was 3 years ago.
Oh,
that trip. Yeah, my last trip was okay. Kenya is a country that is one of the most modern, and sadly, following the elections, they've had all the rioting and problems that have occurred there. But it's always been a little bit unstable, so you have to be a little bit, there's a lot of robberies and things that go on there, and that's what makes it a little bit more challenging.
It is, and you were actually the victim of a robbery.
Yeah.
Yes, and what happened to you?
Oh, we'd gone there 3 years ago when we were in an automobile, a taxi. We'd gone out for dinner at night, and the taxi driver set us up, and an armed gunman approached us and went to rob us, but we didn't have much money, and there was four women and two children in the car. Oh. And so he got mad and he shot us.
And he shot you?
Yeah, with a rifle.
Oh, gosh. So you had a gunshot wound.
I do. I'm just a flesh wound. But it was actually my friend's son was seriously injured, as was another woman in the car. And we were very fortunate that we were able to get to a hospital, and there was a pediatrician there that was in the car with us, as well as a pediatric, she was just a regular surgeon that was able, so nobody died.
Well, and all of this political climate and all of these problems that are going on, they have gotten in the way of some of your work, haven't they? You were supposed to go back. You were supposed to return. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was going to go back at the end of February, and Dr. Smith was going to accompany us to
Dr. Smith, the president of the university.
Right, and his wife. And so we were going to go back and sort of think about building up the linkages there. And so that trip has been put on hold, and hopefully not indefinitely. The people on our staff haven't been able to work for the last 3 weeks. They've been at work this week, but there's been roadblocks to the research station.
Wow.
The children at the hospital, the numbers are down because they can't get into the hospital, and that's the part that's hard. Our project manager's been trying to run around town trying to get drugs for the kids so that we can make sure that there's drugs available. All of our nurses, the Kikuyus, have left. So it's really...
Explain to us what Kikuyus
are. I'm sorry. in Kisumu, it's a town where it's mostly the tribe. It's the Luo tribe. And Kikuyu is the tribe of the president, or the president who says he's the president.
Mm-hmm. He's not the elected president?
Well, it's questionable.
Question
marks,
okay.
Yes. And so there's been some violence against the Kikuyu and trying to drive them out of traditional Luo, which is where we are, lands. And it's never been like that. I mean, people have been, my project manager's Luo, who's married to Kikuyu, our driver's Kikuyu. There's other tribes, Kisi and Luya. And so it's always been mixed together. So this is just kind of erupted, and it's not clear where it came from.
It's sad. It's unfortunate, isn't it?
It breaks my heart.
And when we think about that in terms of our everyday life, that's not anything that's in our experience, is it?
No.
It must be that much harder to understand.
I think that the hard part, even for myself, is understanding, I really appreciate when I take a walk in my neighborhood at night and it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate the safety that I have here. And when I go there, I'm just much more concerned about how to stay safe.
Right. Kind of watching your back the whole time
yeah.
you're there. So when you go back, when you are actually there, what mm-hmm. is it you do? You're not really doing the research while you're there, are you?
I'm directing the research. So in fact, I stay in touch with my staff on a weekly basis, if mm-hmm. not daily basis, by email, and direct the projects. I do a lot of meeting and greeting because as you get more senior, you meet the heads of the hospital, see how things are going, meet the heads of the different programs at the different field sites that we have. We work in two hospitals, as well as a bigger hospital, smaller hospitals that we work at, and talk to the staff and see how things are going.
Excellent. Do you ever get a chance to meet any of these young people who have been diagnosed at a younger age? Do you get to meet them when they're a little bit older?
Oh, I wish we could. We're actually trying to track them down and see what their survival rate is. So that's actually one of the big questions, is how well do they survive the treatment, and can we improve that treatment for their long-term survival?
It's a wonderful and absolutely fascinating conversation. How can people learn more about, say, your not-for-profit? They may mm-hmm. want to contribute to it, or how can they learn more about your program?
Well, the not-for-profit, it's called the Equatorial Africa Children's Cancer Fund, which is a long mouthful, but it's also mm-hmm. called the Each Cancer Fund, because we always say that each child is important.
Oh, I like
and,
that.
Yeah, so it's we have a website. It's www.eachcancerfund.org.
Okay. And we'll make sure we put a link from our HealthLink on Air website to that.
Oh, that'd be great. And that actually has pictures of the children with the cancer. And then the research you can find on the Upstate website in the microbiology department.
Very good.
Link it to my name.
Very good. We'll look for that. And again, we'll put a link from our HealthLink on Air website to that one as well. Well, Dr. Rosemary Rochford, this has been fascinating. I promised our listeners it would be, and it absolutely has. I thank you so much for coming by this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments, so please stay with us. This is University Hospital's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.